Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm David Marsland, and this is The Leader. They're back! They've got the drums out and everything.
Extinction!
Rebellion!
Extinction!
Rebellion!
After a bit of a COVID-enforced hiatus, hundreds of activists crammed into Trafalgar Square to start 2 weeks of climate rallies. Extinction Rebellion co-founder Gail Bradbrook address the crowds.
So just really wanting to welcome everybody here, and I want to give a special welcome to any rebel virgins. Anybody here for the first time? Yeah, I saw your hand go up. I told you I'm feeling horny at the minute, so watch out.
London's seen all of this before, of course, on a much bigger scale and to much bigger audiences. A lot of the city is still working at home. So what's a post-COVID Extinction Rebellion all about, and can it have an impact? I'm joined now by journalist Sam Fishwick, who's been spending time with the XR activists. Sam, I'm intrigued as to why they're launching this now.
I'm extremely intrigued as well. The focus of this rebellion, the Impossible Rebellion, as they're calling it, is to shut down the financial sector, to really aim for the banks. This doesn't quite square with the modern sort of teleworking phenomenon. Even as people come back from their summer holidays, they will be working from home. And I did put this to Extinction Rebellion. They said, for what we have planned, it's not an issue. If it's an Occupy movement, Occupy movements both love and abhor a vacuum and want to fill them. They certainly want to occupy banking spaces. So, you know, if you are Barclays HQ, lock up your doors. But it's a very good point, David. But even if people aren't going back to work, the eyes of the media will be better trained, and therein is a small tick.
They're definitely making a lot of noise. They've got the drums out. There's been lots of chanting. But does this have the same energy as previous XR protests? We've seen things like boats being carried out and taken over the streets.
Well, the boat's meant to be back, David. That is the good news for boat fans. It could be longer than 2 weeks. I mean, the intention really is there to glue themselves to the scene until their demands are met. And they have a very specific demand this time, which is that the UK government stop investing, or stop all fossil fuel investments right now. Then they won't leave until they do. Plus the usual goals of meeting net zero climate contribution, the earlier the better. But there really is an urgency to the message this time, which I think they're hoping that the London public will respond to, perhaps more so than we saw last year during the pandemic and the year before that, when perhaps the messaging was a little off after the sort of stunts you saw where they'd glue themselves to the top of tube trains. It's easy to be won over when you see, you know, 2 months of rainfall falling in 90 minutes in London, when you see forests across Algeria, you know, being stripped to their ashes. They're here for the long haul.
Yeah, do they feel like they have the momentum because of those things? You know, like the wildfires in Greece, people are actually seeing the climate change crisis that Extinction Rebellion have been saying is going to happen.
I think they feel angrier than they ever have done, and they're less sympathetic to to those who don't. I mean, XR have traditionally been a sort of broad arms all in movement. They are willing to talk and communicate, and they are willing to talk and communicate this time, but there's much more focus on conveying their message to the public. They want to sit people down, they want to talk to them, but they also, their main message is that time is not just running out. Time has run out, and we are seeing the praxis of climate change theory in action.
But they have in the past been somewhat dismissed as being fairly old, white middle class people, apparently having some kind of little last protest hurrah. Is it still that kind of group? Is it the same Extinction Rebellion that we've seen before that's out today?
We're seeing today out in Trafalgar Square, there are 500 protesters, which is a smaller number than traditionally turn out for XR marches, but it's a Monday. Are they the group that Boris Johnson dismissed as
uncooperative crusties and protesters of all kinds littering the road?
Do you know, I sat in on a climate crisis Zoom meeting which XR hosts, and yes, the people who kept their Zoom cameras on did tend to be the sort of more benevolent, bespectacled, silver-haired climate crusaders. I think there's a lot of youthful energy coming into Extinction Rebellion. They've had a lot of sign-ups in the last month or so. They feel very strongly about not putting this burden on the youth and the young. There's that Greta Thunberg line, is there not, about how dare you put this on our generation. But you do feel that without young people as part of the movement, it sort of is speaking to itself.
Can it make much of a difference, though? Has it made much of a difference with previous protests?
Yeah, there have been real-world gains from Extinction Rebellion. When I spoke to Gail Bradbrook, one of the co-founders, she pointed out the frequent flyers tax that's been brought in by the government. This is a big win. Support from people like Mark Carney, the former chief of the Bank of England for green taxes and carbon taxes. But these are small victories. And I don't think she really sees them as victories. I don't think Extinction Rebellion really sees them as victories. Victory is it is such an abstract concept. But also a very hard concept. You know, they want complete reform of the way the energy market works, the way we consume energy, and the way we look after this planet's ecology and climate. Until you start seeing radical change, they're not going to be happy, and we'll see who runs out of steam first.
But can that sort of change come through the inconvenience that is being caused to ordinary Londoners? Isn't this the sort of thing that should be happening in lobbying campaigns in the back streets around Westminster?
Yeah, there's a big split in Extinction Rebellion at the moment. This is really the precursor to COP26, the climate summit in November. Wing of Extinction Rebellion, as it's been explained to me, want to see hard change. There's also a really voluble section of Extinction Rebellion who see COP26 as a failed project before it's even arrived, because there have been 25 others and we don't see radical reform. And there's always a groundswell of optimism around climate conferences. We think back to Kyoto. They find it very difficult to square the circle. And I'm not sure I can really blame them.
You've been talking to Extinction Rebellion for years now. I think one of the first conversations we ever had was when you were hanging out with Druids on on Westminster Bridge. But over that time, do you feel like they have changed? Do you feel... I mean, what do you think of them? Do you think they're a competent campaign group?
Look, in terms of their visibility, they're there and they show up and they have an impact on the wider public consciousness. They irritate people, they rub people up the wrong way, and they frequently aggravate Londoners just trying to get on their way. Do I think they're effective? Yes. Do I think they're a good thing? I'm ambivalent. Do I think the message now outweighs the sort of organisation itself? Absolutely.
And that's The Leader. Check out standard.co.uk for more coverage of this story. Follow the live blog for breaking news. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.